Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. Today on the pod, we have Sarah from Clayton Season. She's here to talk all about her journey. And
yes,
we get to get into a little bit of the drama with her and Mara, you know, find out what that all was all about. So I'm excited to talk to her, man. What about you?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't even just her and Mara. It was a couple of other ladies that spoke up about it as well. I was, you know, as a viewer watching the show, I didn't realize that all this was going on behind the scenes, because I think that, you know, the Shanae had took up most of what was going on. So I'm really ready to talk to Sarah. But first,
you know how we do, bro.
You know how we do. Let's get into these hot takes.
Mike, I'm going to let you kick it off, bro. Do your thing.
All right. I'm going to kick it off by asking you the question.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to kick it off. Man, I got so many hot takes, but for today's hot take, I have to know, put yourself back into when you were single.
Okay.
Before going on the show, you know, big sis Rachel, I called her. She said, it's okay that I can have this conversation with you, right?
So she gave you the go-ahead?
She gave me the go. it might be a lie, but anyway. So when dating, but you're not at that exclusive stage yet, you haven't had that exclusive conversation, but you're dating the individual. And, you know, do you want the other person to tell you that, hey, I'm going on a date with somebody else tonight? Or would you rather them say something along the lines of, hey, I'm busy, or I have other plans? And so therefore they're not technically lying to you, but they're withholding as well. You know what I mean when I'm asking that?
Okay, so let me just paint this picture. So I want to hang out with somebody. I want
to
go on a date.
You're dating girl A.
Okay, so I call girl A, I ask her if she would like to go on a date or come over or whatever the case may be, and she tells me, I'm going on a date, or would I prefer she told me I have plans?
Yeah, because what I'm finding in my conversations is that this is a gray area for people. Because I speak for myself. I don't want the girl I'm talking to to be like, yo, I got another date. I ain't trying to hear that.
I mean, here's the thing.
But it's hard, because she's not, I don't want her to lie to me either.
I don't feel like it's that hard. For me, at least. Like,
okay, so I'm about to sound nasty on the joint. So
I'm single, Brian.
You're single, Brian. I'm just trying to say this as PG as I can. Y'all are Thunder buddies. Have you seen Ted? The movie Ted with Mark Wahlberg? Okay. Y'all are Thunder buddies, right? And y'all are Thunder buddies, let's say 3-4 times a week. And y'all going out. Dates, you know, y'all doing the whole nine, right?
We're not just Thunder buddies behind closed doors, but we're actually going out. Like,
yeah, you're trying to genuinely go down the path of, hey, will you be my girlfriend, right? You're Thunder buddies. Y'all go out on dates. And she's like, hey, you know, he didn't give me the exclusive tag, for example. So therefore, she has every right. And therefore, you know, so what would you want to hear? Would you want her to say, hey, Brian, you know, I'm going on a date with somebody else tonight?
Well, here's the thing. If I'm, like, if I was to the point where I was doing all that, like, bro, 3-4 times a week? And I'm a working man. She's a working woman. Like, this is dedicating a lot of time. So if we're
you
going out on
three
dates.
3-4 times a week. You say that's a lot.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying the time dedicated to that person, that's a lot of time, right?
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, to me it is, yes.
So if I'm putting in that much time that you're talking about, I'm probably going to want something more exclusive. So if she does tell me I got a date and I'm not seeing anybody else, and like I kind of had it in my mind that we were exclusive, and she tells me I'm going to go on a date, I'm having that talk with her right then and there. Like, time out. But
thank you.
But if she's not the only one and it's like you're dating around yourself, I have no right to tell her.
Or hell no, you ain't got no right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if she says, oh, I got plans, okay. I'm already thinking she's going to be seeing somebody else. And I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't think that.
I got plans on a Friday night.
She might be with the girls. I don't know.
Maybe. But I'm assuming that she's with somebody else, and I'm not going to be mad about it if I'm doing the same thing with other people.
Okay,
everybody out there.
Why do you have to have somebody, Brian? We know where comes. We got you, Dr. Brian. Why do you have to have somebody yourself? Like, why can't she just do her thing and you just be, you know, solo dolo for the night?
I guess I would. She would probably be more inclined if she didn't have anybody else and she was just going out with the girls. I think she would be more inclined to just tell me the actual truth. If those words of exclusivity aren't said, I would assume she's dating, which is fine. Like, the conversation has not been had. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. So the conversation hasn't been had yet.
The conversation has not been had. And it's like, you can't really have that conversation after, what, four interactions? Twice a week, Thunder Buddies? And you're already being like, I want to be exclusive? Like, you also got to play, you got to kind of play it cool. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you as an individual that's in that bracket, right? So therefore, what do you do? Do you say, what if she asks you straight up, hey, Brian, you know what? I want to be more honest with you. I actually have a date.
Listen, I'm not saying you have to be out doing other things with other people. I'm just saying if she's not making it, like if she's being elusive.
She's not being elusive. She's also putting in an equal amount of effort, bro.
Okay.
But you haven't, I hate using this term, but you haven't tied it down. I hate using that term, but you haven't tied it down. So therefore, she has every right to do whatever she wants to do.
You're right. And I may be cool initially with that, but it's
hard,
man. It's context too, right? When is she busy? Is this during the week? Is this on a weekend?
Damn, you look at the day of the week.
I mean,
I've had wonderful dates on Tuesdays.
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe you consider, it's like, okay, I've been working all week, 5 days a week. And now it's like the time that I have free are the weekends. Okay. So it's like I'm dedicating my time to you on the weekend. And now you're telling me you're busy.
For me.
Yeah. Tell me what you would do.
If she said to me, hey, you know, I want to ask, would you rather me tell you that I have a date or tell you that I've had plans? I would like her even more probably because she considered my feelings. You know what I mean? She considered being completely honest with me. That to me is a wonderful attribute. And I probably would, if it's 2 weeks in, I ain't gonna make it my girlfriend at that point, but I probably would say something like the exclusive. I'd be like, let's be exclusive.
Okay.
I probably would. If I'm really feeling her, like if I'm really feeling her and I ain't talking to nobody else, I probably would say that. I think that's a key for individuals that are like, tired of being in this limbo state of the gray area. I think tell that dude, hey, I got a date tonight. See what he
Because said. Think about it. You're right. All you have to do is communicate. If you want the answer to the question, you need to ask it, right?
Just say it.
How many people, like you said, are in that limbo state where it's like
so many people.
I don't want to put myself too much out there and then they're doing the same thing and it's like I'm busy. You link up when you link up and you never have that conversation. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to – eventually you might hit a crossroads where it's like, okay, now somebody has to step up and have that conversation or bring that up. But
– well, let's get into your hot take, homie, because I can talk about this forever.
we're going in circles on that one. All right, man. So let's talk about hometowns. We just got done with hometowns, and this one ties into that. How long in a relationship before you meet someone's parents or – take them to meet your parents. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to show you the difference between when the way you respond to hot takes, the way I respond to hot takes. Watch how short and succinct my response is. When I feel like I want to love you unconditionally for the rest of my life.
Mm. Okay.
I'm not trying to meet your mama just for the hell of it. Just so I can say, dang, your mama's a cutie. So are you. Now, I have met parents. Like, it depends on, like, are we talking about, like, hey, we're going specifically to meet up with my mom at this location? Or is it like, hey, my mom's coming to the museum, my mom's coming to the park with us? To me, that's different. But if it's like a hometown, like on the show, how it's like the whole family sitting there, you know, ready to interrogate you, I don't want that until, like, I'm in love with you.
I mean, you said you basically know that you want to spend the rest of your life with her.
Well,
I mean, that's basically you're ready to propose.
Well, okay. shocker. But if I say I love you, that means I like.
I mean, you could see. You know,
the last time I said I love you to a woman, bro. So, like, if I say I'm in love with you, I'm probably thinking of marriage at some point with you.
I guess for me, it's more. Have you had that exclusive talk? Like, are you boyfriend and girlfriend? Are you boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, you've been dating for a while. Then at that point, I don't see why I can't meet her parents and she can't meet mine. Why? Because you know parents be nosy sometimes.
Well, as they should
be. Mike, who are you dating? I've been dating this girl for 3 months now. Oh, I'd like to meet her. You know what I'm saying? Like, eventually.
I guess I'm different. I'm different because
will you hold off and not bring them home for a while? Like, until
I don't bring no one home to my mom and my father for a while, but I have no problem seeing your parents. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, my mom told me something when I was younger. She said, Mike, don't bring no girl home unless you see yourself being with her. She's like, she doesn't want to fall in love with a girl, some girl that she thinks could be her future daughter-in-law. And then we break up 2 weeks later, and then I bring up another girl. And so that really stuck with me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, hopefully once you get to a certain point in life, like every girl or every woman or every man, vice versa, that you're dating is somebody that you could see moving forward, right? You could see a future with. You could see a marriage with.
I mean, I'm going to let that slide. Now, from date one?
No. I'm saying give it time. You start dating. You talk. You go through the talking stage. Let's say you get physical. Maybe you don't, whatever the case may be. But you have that exclusive talk. And then it's like, okay, I'm obviously being serious with you for a reason because I see potential. I could see you down the line. There's still ways to go. There's still a lot to know about you and get to know, right?
I guess I'm weird because, like, I've brought up women to my mom.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do it. I know the last person I did it with, and my mom really, really liked the girl. She never met the woman, but she just saw me in awe when I spoke about her. And I was, like, head over heels for this girl, like, all in awe. But that never took place, right? She never met my parents. And I'm still stick by that. You're not meeting my parents until, like, I'm in love with you, until I told you I love you, until I know that I would bend over backwards for you.
I feel that. I mean, I love you. Like, if you're throwing out I love yous, I could see, you know, maybe before that, maybe that's like a milestone or a point that you want to get to in the relationship before they meet your parents. I don't have a problem with that. I just know that I've made the mistake before of introducing a woman that I really liked a lot that I could have seen a future with way too damn early. And it was actually a girl right before the show.
You brought her home too early?
I brought her home too early. I didn't just bring her home. The thing was is that we had just started dating. You know, in the beginning, it's like hot and heavy. You know, you're infatuated, you're in lust, whatever the case may be. And I was actually going on a trip to Colombia for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So for me, I was like, damn, I don't want to kill the momentum right now. You know what I'm saying?
So you introduced her to your family?
So I literally asked her if she wanted to come along to Colombia. Big mistake. Big mistake. It was a little too much. Now, granted, she was like a very fly by the seat of her pants type person. Like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, no big deal. But in hindsight, you know, maybe not the best idea. Like, I should have just chilled, gone, done my trip, spent time with my family. And then when I got back, you know, see how it went. Maybe that would have been a good test to see if, you know, things were really clicking between us, and the fact that, you know, she was still just as excited to see me when I got back, vice versa. But that was probably the crack in the armor. So, yes, I would say it can be too early.
Yeah, I agree with you. It could be too early for sure. Definitely. So before we get into it, with Sarah, I want to be able to love you despite what my mother says, despite what my father says,
absolutely,
despite what my sister says, despite what my grandmother says. Like, their opinion matters to me, but
it's not everything.
it's not everything. And so I want to have that conviction within you before, you know, we meet to the parents. But someone whose parents I would have loved to see, especially after that, the psychologist had said that somebody's being performative, I would have loved to see Sarah's hometowns. What do you think we bring her in?
Let's bring her in.
Welcome to the show, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you for talking today.
Absolutely. Happy to have you on.
You kind of just had a huge roller coaster on your journey on The Bachelor. I want to talk about your arrival into the Bachelor Mansion. What did you first think of Clayton, aka Claynos?
Oh, I see, Clay Doe was his nickname from my perspective. Oh my gosh, he's got a lot of nicknames. I'm learning new things about him. I mean, my first impression was like, he's very attractive. He's got a big smile. He looks excited, looks very welcoming. He made me feel very comfortable. He just felt, I said this from even before I met him, he just kind of felt like a piece of home, like very familiar to home. So it was really comfortable, very seamless.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Was he, so you were attracted to him, is he the type that you usually dated before the show?
I mean, maybe physically, but I guess it's hard to say personality-wise because I really didn't know too much, you know, about him on an intimate level. I just knew, you know, the facts, the bio, what you see online, pretty much kind of word of mouth. I hadn't obviously met him for myself or seen him on TV and interacting with anyone. So as far as personality goes, I think he's a good mix of both. He's has some similarities to people I've dated before, but definitely also pretty different.
Okay. Hopefully not the same bad similarities of people you've dated in the past.
Who's to say?
I love it. Starting out strong, baby. I love it.
Mike, you're catching me at a good time.
Right? The tea may be hot with this one. all right. So, Sarah, in week two, you really got to make yourself known by winning the obstacle challenge. How did you feel receiving the group date rose?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a huge honor. I don't want to say honor, but I mean, it was because truly there were, you know, 20 amazing girls still there at the time. There were 8 girls on this date. So, you know, regardless of winning the obstacle course during the day, being, you know, recognized and kind of feeling chosen out of a group of really awesome girls was huge. And especially early on, you know, we haven't even really had the opportunity to receive much validation. So receiving that group date rose was a good, you know, sign in the right direction.
Nice. Do you feel like the drama between Elizabeth and Shanae had hindered your date at all in any way?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as a whole, I think more than anything, it was just kind of clouding his, you know, mental space and clouding all the things that he had to focus on and just inevitably took away from the quality time he was able to spend with everyone.
Did you watch the show back? Mm-hmm. Have you seen it? Have you been watching it back?
So I actually watched all of it except for the last 2 or 3 episodes. I haven't watched.
Okay,
them.
So yeah, fair enough. This question still applies. So
yeah, I know what happens back, though. So.
Fair. We're not going to get into all the details of it. You know, we want the listeners and to keep watching. But back on that second week date, when you're watching it back, being in a house is different than, you know, watching it as a viewer. Mm-hmm. And you were seeing that Clay-Do, as we're going to call him now, Clay-Do is having, you know, trouble deciphering between the drama with Shanae and Elizabeth. When you guys were in the house, was it pretty apparent?
I think it was apparent in the sense that Elizabeth did seem to be closer friends with the girls. I mean, myself, I certainly was closer with Elizabeth than Shanae. But as far as any sort of evident, you know, bullying and aggression, I didn't see that openly in the house. It was very much kind of behind closed doors and between, you know, Shanae and Clayton.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Okay, so you had a target on you had a target on your back, right? Why? Because you actually got 2 one-on-one dates before some women got any. How did that make you feel, first off?
I mean, I think as you saw in the episode, I just immediately was emotional. I mean, gosh, I was emotional the whole season, but I was emotional getting that second one-on-one because exactly what you said. I was getting this second one-on-one before some women are even getting one. And I think we all, you know, it was already a turning point in the season for everyone. It was getting, you know, there were less than 10 girls in the house. Hometowns are the following week. It's just already a serious time. So then for that to be compounded on top of someone getting another one-on-one who's already had one, I just felt an immense amount of pressure because I think that I knew inevitably drama was coming around the corner. There was no way I was going to escape that. So part of the emotion was because of that. I knew I was going to have to deal with some stuff. And yeah, I just felt a pressure for myself too, because I felt like, you know, we talk about time all the time, and here I am getting the maximum amount of time that you could ask for on this journey. And so I felt like a pressure to have the answers and to have it figured out by the end of that date. So it did take a lot of work for me to go into that date just completely clear-minded and realize that, you know, I just need to take the moment for what it is, enjoy the date, not feel the pressure to come out with having all the answers, but, you know, just let it be.
Take us into that moment, though, mm-hmm. when it comes to your confidence, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you could be any more confident than you were after getting a second one-on-one. I mean, yes, there was pressure, like you mentioned, but your confidence must have been sky high, like, yo, this guy really likes me.
So to be honest with you, I feel like that's everyone's perception, and it's completely the opposite. The first thing that I thought was, oh my gosh, he's going to send me home on this one-on-one, or he, you know, we didn't have the most picture perfect, ideal first one-on-one. You know, he's unsure. He needs to test the waters again. I did not take it as, oh my gosh, he just likes me so much, he wants to spend more time with me. I truly saw it as like, crap, he needs more time with me to know how he feels. And so, you know, to say my confidence was up there is definitely a bit of a stretch. You know, regardless of how it seemed, I definitely was feeling pretty insecure, to be honest, in that moment, and pretty scared about what that could have meant and why he felt like he needed that second one-on-one with me.
Sarah, mm-hmm. I love that you were transparent, open with us. Mm-hmm. But damn, baby, I think he just wanted to be around you some more. That's how I looked at it, right? Like, I think he just wanted to be around you some more, you know?
I mean, I'm going to tell myself that now since it's over.
There you go. Tell yourself that.
But, you know, in the moment, it's very hard to have that mindset. You're not the only person there. You're not guaranteed anything. And I'm pretty hard on myself, especially when it comes to relationships. So
you're not guaranteed.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, never based on that.
I mean, based on the interactions you had prior to that, like, you still thought there was a chance that he could possibly send you home?
Totally. 100%. And especially, really? Okay. You know, once we got into that night portion, definitely.
Gotcha. Whoa. Talk about that. Once you got into the night portion, what mm-hmm. took place for you to further feel that something may not be rocky? Something
I mean, I think it was like the juxtaposition of our date. So the part that people didn't get to see was the day portion of our date, where we went ziplining in Croatia. It was this beautiful day. You know, we had had this really challenging first one-on-one where we were in our underwear feeling really self-conscious and uncomfortable. And now we're finally just getting to have fun, go ziplining, like enjoy the beauty of Croatia. And we were able to have some really awesome conversations, you know, able to just goof off and have fun, but also able to talk about, you know, our views on family and kids and what we want in our life, where we see it going, where we want to live, et cetera, like real life things that would apply if you were going to leave the show together. And so then, of course, the part that you did get to see was the night portion when we went into dinner and he just kind of immediately off the bat just had this 360 of, you know, a demeanor, and you could tell he just was coming in with anger and hostility. And he, you know, confronted me about what someone had shared with him about my age and what that implied about my readiness for marriage. And so I think more than anything, I was just, one, blindsided that someone would have said that in the first place, and two, blindsided by him, you know, in that juxtaposition of how amazing the day went and how we were just laughing and having so much fun while he knew he was going to confront me with that all day. And so, you know, I started feeling a little bit like collateral damage. I felt like, I don't know. I just felt a slight disregard for my feelings, and it kind of just tainted the, you know, the awesome conversations that we did have and the awesome day that we did have, because I felt like, you know, if he was treating it as a real relationship that he saw potential in, he would have immediately expressed any sort of concerns and communicated that to me. You know, he wouldn't have gone the whole day acting like everything was fine and then, you know, bringing it up that night.
If I was in your position, I would think the same thing. I don't know when Clayton found out about that information, mm-hmm. but let's just say that he knew all day.
It was the night before.
He knew oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah,
so he knew it was certain the night before.
Correct. Yeah. So it had been shared with him at their group date the night before my one-on-one.
So let's talk right about that. I mean, you had a wonderful, on your second one-on-one day, it was wonderful. And then he dropped the bombshell on you that some other women in the house are saying that you may not be ready because of your age. Mm-hmm. You guys had a great time in Croatia ziplining. How is that? How does someone, because I actually defended you and I don't defend a lot of people.
Thank you.
I'm telling you right now. Thank you. I defended you because personally, probably because you work in finances and I worked in finances. So I was all like, right, I got to defend my financial people. And I think that it takes a certain individual with a certain mindset to be a wealth management advisor.
Yeah.
Despite your age, right?
Thank you.
And so that's the reason I defended you, even though age doesn't necessarily correlate with professionalism. Mm-hmm. I think it does in some regards.
Yeah.
So how did that make you feel though, when you found this information out that you're talking to all these other girls, you're, mm-hmm. you can't say sorry because of your age.
Right. Right. I think one, it was heartbreaking because I consider myself to be friends with, you know, Mara, who shared this information. You know, we were always loved and supported each other. So more than anything, I was confused on why she would have, you know, felt the need to say something about that. And two, I was hurt that, you know, if she was questioning something about my intentions or my readiness for marriage, you know, why didn't she come to me? Why didn't she ask me, like, at least give me the opportunity to, you know, answer your questions. And then if you still feel like you have that concern, then share that with him. But she never once asked me, we never had conversations about, you know, my personal life and what I've been through. She didn't know anything really about me or my life and what I'm ready for.
So Sarah, where do you think that came from? Because I mean, obviously we saw on the roasting date that I believe you called her a cougar. Like, is that where it stemmed from?
No.
Like, was that the initial nail in the coffin when it came to your friendship and that was it? And, you know, she started talking about your age and vice versa.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, I might get kicked for saying this, but of course, you know, the roast is all in good fun. First of all, she did roast me first, even though it showed me going first. We actually told each other before, hey, I'm going to come for your age. Don't be mad at me. And even afterwards, we hugged it out. Everyone was actually fine after the roast. I'm kind of upset because the best jokes weren't shown, and understandably so. But the one joke that I fully take 100% ownership of was my roast of Clayton, and it didn't get shown.
Well, we got to hear it. Come on now.
Yeah.
We got to hear it.
Let's hear what didn't get aired.
I don't know if that's appropriate.
We're hearing it. Nope. We're hearing it.
We're in roast mode. That's all cool.
So my joke, as you know, I'll preface this with my date with Clayton was in our underwear. So I said, okay, you know, not only have I had a one-on-one, but I've had a preview of fantasy suites. And all I got to say is, Clayton, I hope you're a grower because you sure aren't a shower.
That's a good joke.
And it was hilarious. He died laughing. The comedian, that was my biggest pride moment. The comedian was laughing. I was like, yes, I got him to laugh. So
was it cold outside that day? Because, you know, if it's cold,
sometimes you can't take responsibility. Yeah.
Listen,
all bets are off.
Oh, all I have to say is we were in LA and we were sweating. So I don't know about that. But
I love Clayton. He's such a great sport.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It was 100% a joke. And obviously we laughed about it. But that was the joke that I did take full ownership of. But yeah, we did have some slight collaboration with the comedian. So
between you and Mara, so you just said that you guys actually warned each other, hey, I'll be talking about your age, you know, how old you are. I'm going to be talking about how young you are.
Yeah.
And you guys were cool. You hugged it out after, and there seemed to be still some saltiness after the fact.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, to be honest, I don't know really where that stemmed from. I think the only reason we came for each other's age is we're like, I don't know what else. I don't know anything else about you to roast. To like, I don't know enough personal details about you to say something. Yeah, it was kind of like surface level roasting there. But yeah, beyond that, though, as far as, you know, what she shared with Clayton, again, that's, I think, where, you know, you obviously saw the shock and tears on my face, is because I was hurt that she did say that, you know, mostly without really knowing, or at least giving me the opportunity to speak with her about it if she really did have that concern. And that's where it did feel more like, you know, a little bit manipulative, because it's like, if you really were concerned about it, you would have at least talked to me about it, and no one did.
That's fair. I completely agree with you. That's completely fair. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think Brian, maybe Mara didn't get that from the roast ceremony, but we necessarily don't know. But Sarah, I'm gonna ask you directly. Mm-hmm. I've posted this before on Twitter, and I wanna know your thoughts when you were on the show, at 23 year old, do you feel that you are ready for a serious, committed relationship and marriage?
Mm-hmm. I can speak for myself and say that I am. Again, I don't think that age is an indicator of what you're ready for, regardless of if you're 23, 33, 43. I've dated men of all ages.
Wait, I'm not too old.
Hey, no, listen, I live in New York City, baby. Everybody is, there's plenty of men out here that are 43 and not ready to settle down. Age is not an indicator of what you're ready for. It's truly personal. One, age is a number, it's construct anyway, so who really cares? Just like you were saying, again, it's no indicator of, you know, where you're at in life. I think it's kind of like that quote where people say, you know, don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. You know, you never know where you're at in life. Everyone has a different path. Just because one person was ready for something when they were 23 doesn't mean someone else isn't. It's completely personal. And, you know, that's the perspective I take on any life decisions, but especially marriage, you know. And it's also, I think it's completely outdated and a little misogynistic to think that, you know, anyone can define what makes a wife or a husband or what makes a marriage. There's no definition of that. So it's a little outdated.
Yeah, I don't think it's an end all be all.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an end all be all either.
Yeah.
I love that you said that, because we always talk about, we came at, you know, people have come at you because you said that Mara is a cougar, right? We don't never talk about the other end. Like, you're age shaming me and saying things about me simply because of my age is. That side of the coin is never spoken about. So I love that you kind of touched on that.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's like, you know, no one ever stops to ask me, like, you know, what I've been through in my life. I've, you know, supported myself and worked for myself since I was 17 years old. I graduated college when I was 20 years old. I've been a financial advisor in New York City since,
talk your shit, girl.
Since age 20. I've, you know, I'm an associate now. I you know, it's personal. And that's not to dog anyone else that, you know, isn't at that point at where they're at in life. And again, you know, I don't think your readiness for marriage also has anything to do with your career. But I say that just to, you know, ensure that, you know, the place I'm at in life, I am secure. I do feel, you know, ready for a partner, a commitment, whatever that may be. And truly, you know, it's really is just no one else's place to say what someone's ready for.
Absolutely. And I guess to nip the whole Mara thing in the bud, like, is there anything that you would have done differently regarding that whole drama situation?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I was one running on adrenaline. I was very upset, obviously. And again, just at this point in the journey where regardless of any drama happening, you're already upset and exhausted. So that compounded with the conversation Clayton and I had. I think when I went back into the house and kind of addressed her while she was sitting with the other women, I do wish that I would have been able to, you know, have that conversation with her privately, just because I do think that a little bit of that, you know, anger that I was inevitably giving off, you know, kind of affected the other women, and maybe some of the other women took it personally and was like, oh, is she mad at me? Is she coming for me? And of course, you know, it was something that was completely between Mara and I. You know, and to be fair, at the time, you know, when Clayton did share this information with me, I actually said, you know, don't tell me who said it. I don't want to sound like we're sitting here gossiping. I don't want to talk about someone else. This is between you and I. So I wasn't even sure when I went back into the house that Mara was the one that said it. And I think it showed in the episode me going back in and saying, you know, who did share this, you know, who has this concern, because I wasn't sure that it was even Mara. But I think, you know, looking back after we had clarified that it was Mira, I do wish that I could have said, could you and I have a private conversation, please? And, you know, not involve the other women.
Did you have an inkling at all? Like,
yeah, of
course. Based on your relationship with the women in that moment, like, did you, like, it was probably her.
Yeah. Well, I think I assumed it was probably someone that was feeling, you know, understandably so, a little bit insecure about not having had a one-on-one yet. And there was only a couple of women who hadn't. And I think it made the most sense for her to have been the one who had said it. Gotcha. And again, I didn't, you know, want to come towards her with any sort of hostility. It truly was just me wanting to get to the bottom of it and try to move forward for the both of us. And, you know, my only regret is if it did come off, you know, in a way that I didn't want it to.
Oh, definitely. So I like how you deduced that. And was like, you know, it would be somebody, one of these type of people over here in this situation. But you just mentioned, you know, not wanting to gossip and or talk about someone else. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about you for a second? Because there's a lot of things that took place regarding you specifically.
Yeah.
And on your second one-on-one date with Clayton, we found out that you were adopted. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to know, how have you met your biological parents? You know, they gave you up for adoption at 20 when they were 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And if you have, how was that? If you haven't, you know, talk about that.
To all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Remember, this was part one of a part two series. So make sure you tune in next week for our second half of the conversation. And remember, guys, we're casting for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So make sure to head to bachelornation.com/apply. Again, that's bachelornation.com/apply. You never know. You could find the love of your life.
That's facts. You know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, and your insights. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow. Message us on social at Talking Out B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG. Again, that's Talking Out BN. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And baby, I ain't going to tell you no more. Don't DM me until you hit that subscribe. We love y'all.